Again, we're Susie and Otto Collins from SusieandOtto.com. We thank you for joining us live, and those of you who are joining us later, who will be listening to the recording, thanks for doing that. The topic that we're talking about here is, wow, this is one that a lot of people have the issue with, Susie, which is how to have sticky conversations. Now, that's our word that we just made up. Sticky conversations. In other words, how to have difficult conversations that still keep love alive.
And we've got a lot for you tonight. So we'd love to have your questions. You can shoot us your questions in the chat, which is at the bottom of your screen. You see chat. You can do that. Or you can raise your digital hand by just going to the participants, and you will see
a little raise hand button.
Yeah, raise hand button.
And if there's anybody that wants to come on live with us and ask their question, we'll do that probably toward the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we've got some questions from people, but we would love to hear yours since you all are here live. Great. Okay, where do we start, Otto?
Well, we're going to start with just letting you know that, you know, this topic of communication has been something that's been so important to us over the last, you know, 20 years that we've been teaching about relationships, and throughout the entire time that we've been in our relationship, which now we're talking about 23 years of being together, and as of the time that we're doing this class, this webinar, and making this recording. And you know, it doesn't matter what kind of survey you see, communication is one of those things that's always at the top of the list of those things that cause problems in people's relationships. The thing that people say causes breakups, divorces, separations, communication is always near the top. And, you know, the kind of problems that creates is it creates, you know, resentments. It creates disconnection. It creates all kinds of problems that really take us away from what it is that we really want in our relationships. And, you know, one of the things we were actually going to start talking about, and just to give you a very practical example of what can happen, in a relationship, with communication, when something very simple can take the whole thing sideways. And we say the whole thing, that's communication between two people who really love and care about each other. And it's like, you know, you're going along and you're having conversations and you're trying to get something done. And then you're wondering, what in the world just happened?
Yeah, so we'll just give you a real quick background here. We decided that we wanted a bigger refrigerator.
Nothing wrong with our old fridge.
No, but we wanted a bigger one, okay, because we're buying a lot of produce. So we have been hunting for the last week or so and thought we got the best deal, and you know, we went to the store and bought it, and everything just seemed fine. It was supposed to be delivered today, okay? So in the process, Otto and I decided or had this kind of, wasn't really an argument, but it was, I had one idea of where to put the old fridge until we sell it, and Otto had another idea, right?
I did. I wanted to put the refrigerator, the old refrigerator, I wanted to put that in the garage.
And I wanted to just set it aside in the kitchen because I thought, well, we're going to sell it soon, you know.
It's not going to be there long.
No. So we had two different ideas. Now, this is what happens with most people, all right? They, over even little tiny things, two different ideas about how to do something. Or, you know, like a remodeling project or anything, two different ideas. So you know, we weren't really seeing eye to eye. And you want to take over from your insight then?
Yeah. And so we started having this conflict. You know, I wanted it in the garage. And what was so interesting is a part of me just couldn't figure out what was such a big deal, but I was totally convinced I wanted to put this refrigerator in the garage. And Susie's saying, you know, as she just said, you know, there's not enough room and all that. And then it was really interesting what happened. And this is really instructive about communication, is I stopped and I paused. Now, I didn't say to Susie, okay, well, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pause here. And I didn't say to Susie, I'm going to stop and I'm going to center myself and I'm going to meditate or any of that kind of nonsense. All I did was I just kind of I allowed myself to get quiet for a minute and not make a big deal out of anything. And then it came to me why I wanted this refrigerator, the old fridge, in the garage. And it was, Susie's 112 pounds soaking wet. Who's going to help me carry this refrigerator into the garage? You know, we're in coronavirus times. We're not, you know, all of our friends are not coming over. We don't have a lot of guests and stuff like that. So underneath all of that, for me, I had made up this story in my mind. Now, that's really instructive. Yeah. I had made up this story in my mind. Nobody's going to help me carry this refrigerator to the garage if it doesn't sell. Mm. Now, just think about that. It has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with possibilities.
And this is what we all do. We all weave stories around a circumstance. And this is where our communication comes from. Are these thoughts and stories that we have manufactured. And this is what Otto got to see when he really, you know, when he slowed down, when he actually just slowed it all down. And then it dawned on him. And that's what we're saying. This is a real big key that we've seen in ourselves, in our coaching clients, in so many people we talk to. When you slow it down, when you just stop and allow the story to just kind of fade away here, or fade, you know, get a little less intense, then, you know, like you, Otto got to see that it was a story of what he was weaving in his mind. You know, now my story was that it would sell, and we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know, you know. And so, you know, if Otto really insisted that we put the refrigerator in the garage, then I would have said, okay, all right. But it's the point being is that when he slowed down, he got to see that that was a story that was holding him hostage.
And I got to see the fear that was underneath that I didn't have to be living with.
So we invite you, whatever story that, and you might be saying, well, mine isn't a story. Mine's true. I mean, you know, and there could be very definite true facts here in your situation, but there's also, we also bring to our situations, we also bring a lot of stories and a lot of different ideas. Everybody has different ideas about the same circumstance. And when you stop and allow yourself to see the fear, the story, the whatever, then that's when you can open. You can open to yourself and you can open to another person. And that's what we see a lot, you know, in ourselves and in other people.
And, you know, the topic of this presentation, the topic of this webinar is about how to have sticky conversations, difficult conversations. And what we're really pointing to is that we both had a position that we were like we were solid in the way we were seeing something.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's a really good point. Solid, you know, and that's what we do when there are sticky conversations to be had, when there's a lot of emotion going on and we get solid in our stand. And when you just calm it down, calm your thinking down, then you can actually be open to listening better, being present in the present moment, you know, like, cause Otto is way, way out in the future, you know, well, what if this doesn't sell and I have to carry this thing down to the garage and over steps and blah, 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 blah. He was way out in the future. And when you bring yourself back to the present moment, then, hey, you know, then you can open to, let's talk about this and find some way to come together, you know, find something that works for both of us. And along these same lines, I mean, this refrigerator fiasco, it was really, really, really instructive because
there's another piece to this that we want to talk about here in just a minute, but we want to talk about one more thing before we get to the second really insane piece about the refrigerator story.
All instructive about all this topic.
Yeah. Totally. And, but the as far as, you know, again, going back to having difficult conversations, one of the most important things is to be on the same team. In other words, you know, we were talking about how we get locked into a certain position and we want to make ourselves right and we want to make the other person wrong. Well, what we really want to do, if you want to have an open, a conversation, a dialogue that is truly coming from this place of openness and love and generosity and all of those kind of things, it's, you don't want to be pitting one person against another. I mean, this is what's going on in, you know, the larger picture in, at least in our country here in the U.S., is you've got so many people taking sides and making one person right or one position right and another position wrong. And we have completely divided ourselves as a country. And again, I'm not taking a side with that. I'm just making an observation that if you want to have conversations with the people in your life that you love, you've got to have that openness and you've got to have that willingness to stay open even when somebody disagrees with you.
And that's difficult.
Even when people see something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you agree with them or have to agree with them at all. But it is an openness in your heart. And I think that's what I see. And you know, there are times when it is difficult, and that's when you remind yourself to stay in the present moment and not create fearful a lot of fear around whatever the situation is. And I think what you did today when you know, the refrigerator that came today had big dents in it.
So this is insane. So here it is, you know, Susie and I had this whole big discussion about what we're going to do with the old refrigerator. So the new refrigerator that comes, you know, the delivery people come and I go out on the porch, you know, the front porch to greet them. And they say, well, you might want to come out here and take a look at the refrigerator because it has some scratches in it and there might even be a dent. And they're like, you might not want to accept this. You might want to refuse it. They said, do you want to come out here to the truck and look at it? Sure enough, I go out there. I go up on the truck and I look at the refrigerator and the handle has this big gash in it, you know, this big dent. You know, it's like it was something crashed into it. It was amazing. And what happened was, because when we were at the appliance store, when we were trying to make a the purchase decision, the salesperson who was helping us, it seemed like it took forever to have this person come and help us. And then we had a gift card to this place that they didn't want to accept. Yeah. And it just seemed like one big hassle after the next.
So Otto went out to the store with a chip on his shoulder.
Today.
You know. And that saying that this salesman was the problem and all this and that. And
so I go to the store and I go to the office and I go up there and I puff myself up real big and, and I start to say to them, okay, I need to talk to the manager on duty. So in other words, I'm already preparing for a fight. Now, notice this is what we do in our relationships. Okay, this is instructive. Mm-hmm. Because I'd already prepared in my mind.
He's going to fight.
I'm going to fight somebody. Okay.
Yeah. And we do that. We brace ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had this story already that this was going to be difficult. And I already needed the top person in charge because this wasn't right. What was going on? So I go to the office and I say, I want to speak to the manager on duty. And let's say that our salesperson's name was Sam, not his real name, but let's say it was Sam. And so they said, well, the manager on duty, his name is Sam. We'll get him for you. And I said, no, not Sam. He's the problem that caused all this anyway.
Which wasn't really the truth.
Yeah.
But that's where you went.
But right? In my mind.
Yeah.
In my mind, he was the problem. So I had already
pointing the finger outward, right?
Yeah,
sure.
I'd already started pointing the finger out at Sam. And I had started to make Sam be the bad guy.
Luckily, before Sam came up, you had the light bulb moment, right?
I had a true light bulb moment. Because here's the thing. When you're about to have any conversation that we would call a sticky or difficult conversation, you got to drop down into your heart, into your center, and just pause and ask yourself, what do I really want here? Do I want to be right? Do I want to make them wrong? Do I want to make them pay? Do I want to show myself as being the one that's got it all together? Mm. I had this conversation with somebody just the other day who said to me about his relationship with his wife. And he said, well, if you were to ask my wife, she would say she's never wrong and I'm always wrong. So it's really interesting what happens in relationship dynamics.
So if you had held on to that fight, then poor Sam came up and he would have been immediately.
He would have felt attacked.
Felt attacked and gone on the defense himself.
So fortunately, luckily, I had the insight enough that I had centered myself and I had gotten clear enough about what it was that I really wanted. Mm. And what I wanted was the refrigerator that we ordered, the refrigerator that was delivered, but I wanted another one that was in good condition. And I wanted it to be delivered as quickly as possible. So when Sam comes up, I'm a totally different person. I no longer want to attack him like some kind of a wild animal. I treated him with kindness and respect, but I also was very clear about what it was I wanted.
So this is all instructive for you. Because you can open your heart, as you did to Sam, but you were still clear about what it was you wanted. So there doesn't have to be fight with being clear about what you want. And, you know, he was very amenable. So we hope that in telling you these stories,
we might even get a discount now.
Yeah. That you can see where, oh yeah, I do that. Or, you know, well, that might be a better way to do something. And we're not being prescriptive here. We're just showing you how you don't have to go into this with a fight. And if you do, then, you know, your sticky conversation will probably end up the way it always does, you know, in conflict or one person avoiding or whatever is normally going on. Mm-hmm. So we hope that these stories have been instructive and you can kind of see where, okay, I can mm-hmm. see where there might be some things that I could do differently.
Yeah. And I don't know why I want to bring this up right now, but when we're talking about having conversations that are open versus closed, loving versus combative, one of the things that was a game changer for us and is a game changer for our coaching clients, the people that we work with, is when you really start to see that this person that I want to have a conversation with, they're not the enemy. Mm-hmm. Now, they may see things differently than you. Mm-hmm. They may have a different viewpoint. They may have a different idea. They may, I mean, their whole outlook may be different. But the game changer was when I started to see Susie is my beloved and she's not the enemy.
Yeah, and that's really, really important.
Because when you really get that other person, no matter who it is not the enemy, then everything changes. Mm-hmm. Because then what happens is you start showing up with love. You start showing up with kindness. You start showing up with curiosity.
And with an invitation
rather
than, okay, I've got to get my point across here. But when you have an invitation, you extend an invitation, then the other person is a whole lot more open. I mean, I've seen it time and time again. So that's why, and before we go any further, we want to tell you about our program that we're doing. It starts on the September 20th, and it's called Communication Magic 2020. And we're going to be doing exactly what we're doing here. And it's going to be 4 weeks of 4 live webinars like this, and you get a coaching session.
One-on-one
with one of us. And we've never quite done that way. And then you can also have a, you know, get 4 extra coaching sessions. But we wanted to tell you about this because between now, if you order between now and Sunday night at midnight Eastern time, you get your pick of any of our digital programs.
Yeah, any of the programs that we are offering on our SusieAndOtto.com website, your choice of any of those at no charge, because it's kind of like an early bird bonus if you sign up for our program, and the program is very affordable. So we're not pricing this in such a way that price would necessarily be the issue if you wanted to join us for the four-week program that we're offering, that we're calling Communication Magic 2020.
Right.
Because we want everybody to join. We want everybody.
That's right.
Because one of the things is that people tell us all the time, Susie and Otto, communication is hard. And we say that it doesn't have to be. Communication doesn't have to be so hard. It can be so much easier if you start to do some of these things that we're talking about here tonight. And we're going to be talking about these other things. We're going to go into more detail because we're going to have 4 weeks together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And really take deep dives into all these and answer your questions. And let's go to a question, Otto.
Yeah, we've got some questions that people have sent in.
Let's go to this one first.
Okay, are you going to read the question?
I am.
Great.
I've been dating my guy for 2.5 years, and I'm finally starting to realize my boundaries. That may sound strange, but I've always just went with the flow and didn't rock the boat. But now things are starting to bother me, and I want to get my boundaries heard. But is it too late? There are things that are driving me crazy about him and with how he handles situations, mainly with his 20-year-old daughter, but also with our sex life. I'm 54 and he's 58. I don't have to agree with what he does as far as his daughter is concerned. I get that, but in my opinion, he enables her and her mom, his ex of 20 years. Long story about him and his ex's dynamic, but it's craziness times 1,000. I battle with myself as to whether I should stay with him or if I should end things. Our sex life is absolutely boring as he has ED issues. And despite trying to correct his issue, it's just not working. I don't want to bail on him because he has tried, but he doesn't seem to have the desire to try new things or put forth much effort other than the usual routine we have. And she added, while I can't tell him what to do with regards to raising his daughter, how do I go about telling him that if he's not going to stop enabling his daughter and his ex, then I don't want to hear him talking about it and complaining? And we chose these questions because they're pretty universal. This is, you know, there's usually something about your partner that you know, or somebody in your life that, oh, I don't want to hear another complaint about this. So what would you say to this, Otto?
Well, first of all, I think that one of the things I'm hearing that is totally awesome is that she really gets it, that she really can't do anything about his relationship mm-hmm. with the daughter. But the other thing that's happening is there's still some resentment brewing here mm-hmm. about the idea that she thinks he's enabling her.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? What if he is?
Well, and what I would say is that, you know, we forget to ask a question deeper. And this is what this is something that we don't learn for some reason. To ask a question deeper. So if he's complaining and she says, I don't want to hear it, she could just ask, is there anything that I can help you with around this? You know, and he says, he might say, no, I'm just complaining. But if she keeps asking him that, he may get the message about that, you know, that's really interesting, or that's too bad that you feel this way. And I've heard you say this a lot. And can I help you in any way? Or is there something that you can do? So asking him just a little, Another question. Does that ring true for you?
Yeah, and there's all kinds of questions in a situation like this that could be asked that would be, I think, really powerful, such as, what is it you would really like in this situation with mm-hmm. your daughter? Mm-hmm. And instead of making him wrong for how much whining he's doing, that's my word, not hers, mm-hmm. How much complaining he's doing about the daughter and all of whatever's going on there, simply asking, what would you like in this situation? So that opens a conversation.
Yeah. I think that's the point.
Point is, with any relationship, any place where you want to have a conversation, you want it to be where, again, you're on the same team. You're going through life mm-hmm. together. Even if this is a work conversation, mm-hmm. Are you on the same team?
Yeah, because it's really easy to kind of get exasperated with somebody who is not doing it the way you think it should be done. And, rightfully says, well, I can't really change him here. And he's just going to do what he's going to do. But when there are some questions that you can just, help somebody to see maybe something a little different. And maybe he doesn't want to see anything different. But if you are an invitation to having a discussion, mm-hmm. then the whole thing, your resentment doesn't build because, it sounds like she's very resentful. And this is probably showing up in the sex life because, where sex starts, really, it's up here.
And up here, if you're listening on the audio, it's in your head.
In your head. And we're not saying that his ED problems aren't physical. I mean, who knows? But that is a big, big, big problem, is connection. When two people are not feeling connected, sex can be a big problem. And, that's what I would say to her. If she would like to kind of make this a little better for herself and for him, is connect with him. And maybe she just doesn't really want to be with him. I mean, that's also a...
Well, she needs to find out.
Yeah.
Because if there are enough other good qualities, if there's enough connection, if there's enough mm-hmm. desire, then that brings the openness where these kind of conversations, whether it's a conversation about erectile dysfunction, whether it's a conversation about money, about kids, anything that's kind of a kind of a jugular topic where it's really, really mm-hmm. important. Again, if you have the desire to be with somebody, if you have an openness to loving them and wanting to be loved back by them, then that's the starting point, mm-hmm. is to invite more of that. And it's that place that you start any conversation with, is, oh, what do I really want here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want more love. I want more connection. I want more conversation. So whatever mm-hmm. it is that you want, I don't want to tell you what you want, but for most people, they want more connection. They want more love. They want to feel that other person, and they want to feel the openness and so forth. And that comes when you decide, oh, I'm going to stay open here, and I'm going to show up and be an invitation. Mm-hmm. And if this isn't something that I want, and there's nothing wrong if you decide right. that it isn't something that you want, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. But just know that there's a possibility that there could be something really special here if you stay in the conversation. Only you're going to know that. Mm-hmm. Only you will.
That's right. And you will know it, and not when you're, you know, going around and around and around in your head, but when you drop down in your heart and, okay, what is it that I really want? And when you really slow it down, like you were talking mm-hmm. about, slow it all down. And what is it do I want to be with? Do I really want to be with this person?
Right.
So should we do another question?
Let's do one more. If any of you that are attending live if you have a question that you want to have us address, type it into the chat and we'll do our best to get mm-hmm. to it. So do that for those of you who are attending live.
Okay. Do you want to choose a question?
That's going to require me to look at this sheet here. We've got several. You know, we started to talk about this a little bit ago, but this is another big one, which is how do you have sticky conversations with somebody that where you feel like you're always being made wrong? So something's going on, you want to have a conversation, but you feel like they're always the one that's finger pointing, you're the problem, they take no responsibility for anything. What would we suggest to somebody? What would we advise them if they want to have conversations that are connecting, loving, conversations where they really can connect at a deeper level if there's some of that going on? In other words, the blame game. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of blame going on, could be. Yeah. But if you're feeling like you're always the bad guy, you're always being made wrong.
Right. And what actually I talked about this, I don't know, today or yesterday with someone that, number one, you don't have to believe it. You know, now if you are wrong, if there is something to apologize about, then, you know, apologize. And if you can't see it, then you can ask, can you tell me more about that? And I know that that's difficult when you feel like you've been beaten up a lot. You know, I don't mean physically, but emotionally. But you don't have to believe the person. If the person has been slinging a lot at you and it doesn't land at all, you can ask them to explain. But if this happens over and over and you're always the bad guy, you don't have to take that on. But you can invite the person to, let's talk about how we can make this work, or, you know, whatever the topic is, and keep that person going along maybe a positive route. I don't know. Do you have anything that you can talk about this?
Well, whenever there's a situation where you're always being made to feel like, or at least the story you have about it, is that you're always being made wrong. First of all, I would question the story of whether you're always being made wrong. Now, it might seem like that, but to really check in with yourself, first mm-hmm. of all, is that story that you have going on, that you're always being made wrong, is that really true?
Yeah, because it can look like, because we do that, we think that it's always some way. And usually it's not always.
So that would be one of the things that I would mm-hmm. do. And the other thing that's coming to me about this challenge or this situation is it changes the game when you simply stop and you say to someone else, you know, it really doesn't look like that to me. Without being combative, mm-hmm. without being rude, without being mean. And if they're making it seem like you're the one that's at fault here, you're the problem, there, you know, there's a lot of blame being put onto you, then when you start to really take a look at the way that you interact with them, and then if you simply said to them, you know, it just doesn't seem that way to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when if you say something like that, and, you know, again, if you ask them for feedback and you said to them, can you tell me why it is that you think that way? It seems that frequently you are indicating, you know, with your words that, you know, I'm the one that's at fault here. Can you tell me more about that? Why it is that you see it that way?
Mm-hmm.
And do you really see it that I'm at fault as much as you're indicating here?
And not making it global.
Yeah.
But, you know, one situation. Stay in the present moment. So what do you do when your partner or whatever just clams up? So you got the opposite, you know, we just talked about being blamed. What do you do when the other person doesn't, just shuts down, you know? One person wrote, I know when my husband and I have a disagreement, he tends to shut down and say nothing. Then I tend to draw my own conclusions to things I believe are an issue for us, and they are probably wrong conclusions. I am open and willing to communicate and apologize when necessary, and yes, probably over-communicate. And he is a man of few words most times and barely apologizes, which upsets me, as I would like for him to accept accountability from time to time, as we both contribute to the communication barrier. I would like to hear about how we can both be open and feel safe to communicate with each other, and help me not over-communicate, beat something to death. Very wise of her. Because, you know, opposites do attract. We've seen it time and time again that, you know, there can be somebody who and over, you know, like she's saying, she over communicates, says it three or four times, maybe says it louder, and yes. He goes, oh, I'm just not going to say anything. Nothing.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody a couple of weeks ago where this woman was talking about her husband, and she said, I asked him on our wedding anniversary. I think they'd been together. They'd been married maybe 18 years or something like that. And she said, I actually asked him if he was happy with our relationship. And if there was anything that he would like to see different about it. And it was so fascinating what she said, because she said he turned it right back on me and said, well, what do you think?
Okay.
And he would never actually say what he thought. So she went on for, I think she said 30 or 40 minutes about what she thought about the relationship. And I asked her, I said, it was really instructive. I thought, I asked her, I said, well, has he ever been anyone who has been revealing of their feelings or revealing of the way they see things, especially in your relationship? And she said, well, no. I said, so let me see if I understand this. You're asking him to be somebody that he's never been. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really instructive. And she says, oh, yeah, I guess I am. So she was expecting him to immediately mm-hmm. change and to be someone that in 18 years he's never been.
Right, right. And, you know, you when there are such big differences, you really have to take that into account. And maybe, you know, I had somebody say, well, he doesn't support me in the way I want him to support me with words. And he just doesn't say those words. And it might be that she needs to get support from somebody else in that area. If that's really what she wants, that we can't change, you know, I mean, we can make a lot of changes. Okay. But there might be certain ways that people don't want to change. You know, maybe he doesn't, maybe like this guy, maybe he doesn't want to be so vocal and verbal. And, you know, it was very wise of her to see, oh, wait, I over communicate here. You know, I'm overdoing it. And when you see that, you can pull back and not, wait a minute, I'm trying to change him here. And, you know, we just go back to being an invitation and maybe asking one question.
When I tune into this also, Susie, there's some other parts of this that I think are worth pulling out. And that if there's somebody that you're in relationship with where you want to have these difficult conversations, and there's somebody who shuts down, one of the things that's always helpful to do is for you to get quiet and for you to drop down into your center and just kind of ask yourself that deeper part of yourself that where there's, you know, the wisdom that kind of runs the universe, the wisdom that flows through you, me, and everybody, where you get quiet enough that wisdom can flow through you and a new answer might appear. For example, a new answer might be, oh, am I really allowing him or her to feel safe enough to open up to me? I mean, to really stop and consider a question like that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And because we keep going back to that of getting quiet. So if there is tension between the two of you, start with yourself getting quiet and allow this wisdom. You know, you're going to see something new when you just stop all your stories about how the other person needs to change and be different in order for you to be happy, and just get quiet and allow yourself to hear, and maybe you don't hear, but something will occur to you that, oh, I hadn't thought about that. And I think the safety issue, we don't realize that, but for some people, that is big.
We don't realize how we come off to other people sometimes. We don't realize how strong we can seem like we're coming off to somebody.
Right.
We don't realize how tough we're coming across. We don't realize how vulnerable or how difficult or how whiny or how, you know, we don't realize that. And sometimes it's really helpful and really instructive to ask for feedback from your partner, from a spouse, you know, husband, wife, partner, from, you know, good friends, because I've had really valuable feedback from people because I've just simply said, you know, I may not be seeing this correctly. Can you share with me what you might be seeing from me about this situation?
We don't know what people are thinking. You know, we're all different. We all are weaving the stories. And there, this lack of safety that somebody else might be feeling might come from all kinds of stories that have nothing to do with you. So that is important. And, you know, like I go back to you puffing yourself up at the store about the refrigerator guy, you know, the salesman. You didn't realize until you did realize how you were coming off.
Or the potential for me to come off was going to be. And it wasn't going to be good.
Like a bully, you know.
Or a bulldog.
But thankfully, you realized it.
Yeah, because I went back to, what is it that I really want here? I want to show up with, I mean, not just in my relationship with my wife or my son or the people in my life, but I want to show up with kindness and love. Mm-hmm. And there's things that I really want that I'm not going to settle for less than, but there's also other ways that things can be, there's other ways that you can get what you want.
So let's, before we stop here, let's go on to not biting the hook, getting defensive and angry. You can't stop reacting when a certain conflict comes up, because we had several questions about that. And that's a big one, you know, because we have our habitual things that come up for us when we start getting defensive, you know, like this fighting or the pulling back. Either one is a reaction that does not lend itself to resolving issues or connection. And so we've got these reactions, right?
We do.
Yes. So what would you say to that?
About reactions and mm-hmm. about not, you know, getting defensive mm-hmm. and anger and things like that. Again, it goes back to, I think, we talked about this when we first began our conversation tonight about this, but it's getting curious. It's mm-hmm. coming from an open-hearted place. And anytime that there's some sort of trigger or some kind of reaction, I think it's instructive and I think it's really helpful to know that one of the things that's going on here is that there's fear underneath at some level that you're not going to get your wants or needs met. Mm-hmm. So just really take that in for a moment. That if you're angry, you're defensive, if you're, I know there are people in our world who want to ask a lot of questions, you know, that are questions that would always be answered if they would just simply slow down. And you know what? Just being willing to slow down mm-hmm. a lot of times, and you know, we keep coming back to that. But when you start to slow down any mm-hmm. conversation, then that's where the magic can happen.
Right.
And not just slow down the conversation, like stop talking so fast, but it's slow down your thinking. Mm-hmm. So when you slow down your thinking, then that's where new thought can come in.
Yeah. And I mean, I love that, Otto, because that is definitely what happens. New thought can come in when there's space. And the reaction that happens, whatever your reaction to this sticky conversation, and it's probably, you know, coming round and round and happens several times. and you have habitual reactions. And whatever that is, you can come into a consciousness that, because, you know, our reactions are just unconscious usually. And you can slow it all down and say, whoa, wait a minute. Like you did at the store,
yeah.
You slowed it down. You know, you said, oh, I'm not going to get what I want here if I come off like a bulldog. And you have to see, do I want to keep doing this habitual reaction because I keep getting the same thing? It keeps escalating the fight, mm-hmm. or it causes both of us to, you know, separate or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself, do I still want this to happen this way? Or is there another way? And when you ask that question of yourself, then you'll slow it down and an answer will come.
One of the things I've seen that can really show you a lot is when you start to pay attention to your language. And I don't mean like curse words. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start to slow down and you pay attention to the internal conversation that's going on. So I remember I had someone that I was working with, actually it was about 2 months ago. And this person kept saying, well, I'm afraid that they're going to, and there was this thing that they were afraid that the other person in their life was going to do. And so I started to notice that this person, about a lot of different people in their life, was using that phrase, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And so it's really helpful to see, what is the language you're actually using?
And you mentioned you always.
Yes.
And that's, you know, are you saying that to yourself a lot? That he or she always does this? And is that really true? Is it always? Or are there some things that are good? And we're not saying that you put a happy face on a not very happy situation or a good situation, but just slowing down and seeing if there is something there that is unappreciated or that you are kind of skipping over because you're focusing on what's not right. So,
a couple of things we want to do in the time that we have left. Number one, we want to mention one more time about the special offer for our Communication Magic 2020 program that is starting Sunday, September 20th. Mm-hmm. So it's just about a week or so. And anyone who signs up for that program between now and Sunday, you're essentially going to get, as our gift for signing up, any of our downloadable programs that we've done over the years that's available mm-hmm. on susieandotto.com, any of those, your choice is our gift to you just for signing up for this program.
Well, if you sign up before this Sunday.
Before this Sunday.
Yes, 17th.
Yes.
Yeah, so not 17th, the 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And so that...
I'll send this tomorrow, the replay, and I'll put a link so that you can go there
and sign up.
Sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. And also those of you who are still here live with us, if you have a question that you want to cover before we say goodbye, type that question into the chat and we will certainly get to that before we say goodbye for the night. Mm-hmm. But there's one more thing.
You've got another thing.
That I just wanted to talk about, because this is such a big thing, is there are people that we've had many coaching clients over the years where somebody has said to us, Susie and Otto, I just don't trust that other person's going to be honest with me.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
It's a big one. Mm-hmm. And so I want to have your thoughts about when somebody's dealing with somebody that they're not sure that they're being honest with them. And, you know, what do we suggest in a situation like that?
Well, that definitely puts a question mark beside anything that person says in your mind if there's been dishonesty. And again, is it globally that you're looking at this, and is that true? And, you know, for some people, there have been a lot of lies, and it is true. So you gotta be honest with yourself. If that's really going on, then how much interaction with this person do I want to have, and at what level? And, you know, if you're married to somebody like that, you really have to see, all right, what are they willing to do to change? Or are they willing to do anything to change? Or are they still denying that they're not being truthful? So there has to be kind of a reckoning to see where am I standing on all this? And because to be lied to over and over and over, of course, isn't healthy for a relationship. And that's what I would say.
Who's what? Her birthday's gonna be long. It's okay.
There we go. It's use your heart, but also be kind and loving to yourself. And don't whitewash it, and don't make it worse than it is. Do you have something to say about that?
Well, what I wanted to share about this question, when somebody doesn't trust that somebody else is being honest, then one of the things I always think, again, we've talked through the whole night here about slowing it all down, mm-hmm. and taking a look at what's going on within you. But where is that coming from? That question of, are they going to be honest with me? And in that situation, very often you are dragging other people from your past into, you know, other situations from the past into the present moment, and it has nothing to do with the present situation.
So is it going on in the present situation?
Yeah, because so often we have a story going on that really has nothing to do with the current situation. Mm-hmm. So
that's another thing to determine.
Yeah. That is this really true? Mm-hmm. The story that you are continuing to run in your own mind about what's going on. Mm-hmm. So are there any other questions from anybody? Type it into the chat. This is your last big chance before we say goodbye. Anybody live? Questions that are going on, that any questions you have, burning questions about communication or anything else.
And if you don't have a question right now, but you want to email us your question, we'd be happy to take your question and, respond at like tomorrow or the next day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want to hear from you.
So again, we thank you for showing up, and we've been talking, as you know, about how to have sticky conversations, difficult conversations, and let us know what has been helpful about this. Let us know what your questions still are, and we, as Susie just said, we'd love to have those. So again, thanks for showing up. We appreciate it. We're Susie and Otto Collins from SusieandOtto.com, and we will look forward to talking to you again soon. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.